Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Prusa podcast. My name is Miklas. This is Joe.
I'm Joe.
And we are joined by David.
Hello.
You know David by his signature tattooed hands. We had some comments on YouTube from time to time. I really love the comment that when they see the tattooed hands, they know that the video will be good. So, face reveal of the of the tattooed hands. You might have noticed, we have renamed the show slightly. I mean, most of the people, I think, were already calling it that way.
Yes.
So, it's now Prusa Podcast. You've been doing it for 3 years, over three years.
Is it exactly 3 years?
It's a little, like a month over 3 years.
Oh my god.
I just looked it up and I couldn't believe it's been so long. So this is like a small change of background, little change of name, you know, trying to refresh things a little bit. But otherwise, it will be very familiar to all of you. So yes. On that note, we will start with our picks from printables. Joe, what do you have?
So, I have this, wonderful, how to call it, handy dandy bit holder, but I will find ergonomic lockable bit screwdriver with print in place freewheel by HD Creator.
That's it. Oh yeah, it's been just featured on printables recently.
Awesome, congratulations.
Nice. Okay, so that seems pretty, like, for some weird bits so that you just have it on hand. Oh. It spins the bat. That's like a free spin back or something.
Yeah.
It's usually the screwdriver stuff. Okay, I have actually something from, like, a similar team, I guess. I have a drill bit stopper, so this red printed thing. So when you're, you can go too deep, you print this stopper and as you drill, you will, you know, reach the wall and you know that you have to stop drilling. There's a screw and a lock nut, just like on our printers.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you are doing a DIY project at home and you realize you really need it. And it's the only thing you need and you really don't want to go to hardware store.
And this is like a 10-minute print with input chipper. It's like super, super quick.
It's a lot safer than a duct tape on a drill.
Yes, that's the way you would typically do it, just to kind of get away with. So this is a print model by Mishkin too. So small, but actually really, really useful. And David...
I have something a little bit bigger.
David always goes big. Oh my god.
I have a little bit best from Fotis.
I think Fotis is in the chat. Fotis, say hi if you're in the chat. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. We actually have a second camera, so maybe you will be able to see just how crazy big it is.
And the main reason why I have such a big print like this is because we talk about the new Prusa slicer.
Yes, and the new cut tool.
Yeah. We have those pins now already in a Prusa slicer, so you can do those pins on every model, especially for those life-size prints, is really great.
We actually have, you shared with me some screen recordings, so we can take a look at those. You also have another pin at the bottom, right?
That's also.
Yeah. That's pretty great. Yeah, we're gonna go back to our main camera. I hope you like the additional camera. So, yeah, the thing is that now you can cut these huge models directly in Prusa Slicer. This model actually wasn't so big, you just scale it up like crazy, right?
Just a small beast.
Yeah. So let me open the videos that you shared. And it's actually pretty crazy that you can do the whole thing in Prusa Slicer.
How would you do it before?
I think, David, you still did it in Prusa Slicer, right? You just rotated the model kind of awkwardly and you didn't have the pins.
Now you can rotate the cut, not the model, so it's pretty easy now.
Yeah. But yeah, so the new edition is, you know, cutting at any angle, which I guess for the base you didn't really need. But then the thing is that you can add the pins. And you're using a pin type that which is not default, but I think it's actually my favorite one.
Yeah, because it's not just the tube which you print alongside. It's based on the model, so
it's like because it's getting smaller, so it's like really easy to insert, even if the tolerance is not perfect. But it's still circular, so you can change the rotation if you need it.
Yeah, and also you can change the depth of.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Pin, you can choose from different shapes of the pin. You can have a hexagon.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then you printed it on the XL?
Yeah.
And you even used the two tool, right? Because you have supports from a different color.
Yeah.
Flexing a little bit.
And testing the second head on XL, so the whole infill and the supports is from the different material.
Yeah, and then just ripping them by hand. Yeah, it's so satisfying, right? When you remove it and it just goes apart.
I like when you can use some different filament for infill and for the supports.
Yeah,
think it's look cool for
on
the photos.
And made it tool changing, and there being just a perch tower, maybe for such big prints. So if you have something, if you are running low on the material you would like to have, just for, you know, for the show on the outside.
Oh yeah,
you could save some.
Yeah, and there are actually you split it even more. There are more pins for the horns. But you glued those together already. But I guess if I stop sharing, we can actually
see
the different colors of the horns. And yeah, I think if the color wasn't different, I don't know even if I would notice it, because the scale is just so big that the small gap is nearly invisible.
Yeah, and because those pins. Set the two parts together pretty great, so you can barely see the connections between them.
And plus you will be painting the model and everything.
Of course, it will be in the full post-process, so then you can see it.
Yeah. Okay, we can actually like open Prusa Slicer real quick. I have the bunny open. And we can just do a really quick demo. So if I hold shift, I can draw the cutting plane, but then, oh no, it cuts, like if I make it even a little bit, like it cuts this part, which I don't want separated, but I can just, am I screen sharing? I'm not, wow. It would be better to do that. So let's do that real quick. Okay, so I'll just go back and do it again. Yeah, so I have the bunny, and I will open the cut tool. Let's say we want to separate the ears, but now the plane is also intersecting the back of the bunny, and that was previously just how it was. It was not possible to do anything about it, really. But now I can just right-click it, and this part will not be separated. So now we have the two ears, so we can do the add connectors. And you can edit. I was just playing with it, so it's oversized, but it's responding in real time to all the changes that you do. So, you know, you have the pen. You can add a second one. You can drag them if you want to reposition them. It's like, it's really easy, really quick. And then once you confirm the connectors and you perform the cut, you can see that the bunny has these positive pins and the ears, better visible if I slice it, have the negative pins. So this will be just super easy to put together.
How we lived without this.
Yeah, it's one of those things where once you get used to them, it's just crazy. So I hope, Fautis, you like the feature of this ridiculously big bust of yours of Lilith from Diablo 4, of course. Another thing which we talked a ton about are the organic supports. I think we featured them a ton already, but Jakub, my who sits with me in the office, was just printing something, so I thought this is like really wonderful, wonderful like demo. It's a holder for an underwater cage for a camera, waterproof camera cage, and you know, we can see just the supports, but they separate just so easily. And yeah, I'm not sure if I would recognize which side is the top and which is the bottom, just how nicely they separate. And yeah, this is what's left of the three supports. It's really, really quite incredible. We do have Thomas Ram, who worked on the reworked three supports, which we based our work on, actually accepted our invite here. So I think very soon we will be releasing an interview with Thomas, which I found really, really interesting. David, you brought one more thing, right?
I bring another one.
Just removing the huge prints.
I want to show you how you can save your filaments when you print something really big.
So David is printing the like full size robot from the new game Atomic Heart.
Yeah.
But the full like body size figure is just from two spools, yeah. Like 2 kilos of filament.
It's just from 2 kilos of filament, and I think it's pretty great because you save filament, you save time, and everything on it.
Just putting it together on the street.
This is just the holder of a putty or
yeah. So it's
or body filler or
it's full of holes. It's like completely hollow. Yeah. It's almost hollow.
It's just 2% of gelic infill. So you put some rods on it or something wood. Or something like this, just to have a structure in it, and then fill it with a expanding foam or something like this.
Okay.
Oh. And that's it. You can have some life size figure just from a 2 spools of filament. It's pretty easy. Just 2 layers, 2 perimeters, and 2% of infill.
That's a cool tip with the foam.
Yeah.
Because you are basically using it as sacrificial scaffolding, and yeah. Then you know it's easy to brush into the scrape and sand to the organic shapes of the models.
Because you always have the those outer layers just for a hold of something on it, like a paint, body filler, or something. Like this. So it's necessary to have it. So that nice, because you always sand it, smooth it, and then paint it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I think so you can just print it on the draft or something like this to save time and filament.
Yeah, basically most of the stuff you print, most of the stuff you print, you post-process anyway for such big prints.
I have one more thing that I like. It's the changelog for 2.6 is 1 kilometer long, and some of the things didn't even make it into the article. But I have one tiny little thing as a taste of the full changelog. If you are interested in all the changes, I suggest you go read it. But one like extremely small, but I'm sure it will make some people very happy. One small change is, you know, by default when you scroll, it zooms to the middle of the screen. Which is how some CAD models do it, but others do it differently. But now if you hold down the shift key, it will zoom to your cursor. So you can see I'm not moving the camera, but I'm zooming to different things.
This one is one of your favorite because you've been talking about it.
Yes.
I think quite often.
I think it's the like power user, like quality of life thing, where I will be able to manipulate the view just so much quicker. But if I release it, I go back to, you know, zooming to the middle of the screen, and I can hold it and zoom to the cursor. It's really nice, and the changelog is full of these little bits. So I really suggest you go check it out.
But it is a reading for a long, long winter evening.
Yeah, that's true. So I think we bring Chris in. That means headphones up, so the viewers don't get ugly echo. And hopefully it will be working great. Hi, Chris.
Hello. How are we doing?
Hi. We can hear you great. That's awesome.
Yeah, good.
Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
That's
perfect. Everything's good.
That's wonderful.
So I'm sure a lot of our viewers know Chris Riley already and his basement. But Chris, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me on here. I really appreciate that. But yeah, I'm Chris Riley. I'm a 3D printer enthusiast, let's say. I make YouTube videos on occasion, mostly, you know, reference type things, showing people how to tips and tricks, you know, trying to get through some of the harder parts of our hobby. And on top of that, I'm a musician, and I really love guitars.
And I really wanted, I saw you teasing your Prussia Caster remix on Twitter, and I was really looking forward to see it in person. I couldn't make it to Murph in the end, but that was the perfect excuse to finally have you on the show and nerd out about guitars. So
yeah,
I know
definitely.
You have one behind you. I have I have the original Article Prussia Caster here. But you made
So, and Mickey, honestly, I blame you for this whole thing because I've really gone down a rabbit hole here with these guitars. But the Prussia Caster was the perfect opportunity. I'd never, you know, I'd seen printed guitars. I never really got a chance to, you know, to go down and see what all it would take. But the blog post was really straightforward, really easy to do. So this is my Prussia Caster, and I've made a few odds and ends. So like, on the PLA body here, this edge could be pretty sharp. So I made a TPU plug that you just force into the hexes for your forearm there. And then, you know, I had to do some headstock cover. So, yeah, and all this will be, I don't know how much of this is on printables, but it will all be on printables. But this is a really cool design, and I really like the how lightweight it is. This is like the perfect guitar to just set around on the couch and play. You know, you don't have to worry about chipping the paint, anything like that. It's a... I don't know. I really enjoy it, and people really seem to like it. So, it's a very cool design. Well,
it's
done.
Surprisingly balanced, I would say. I was really expecting that to be a problem, that it will be neck heavy or something, but
right.
I feel like it's pretty okay.
Yeah, it is pretty well balanced. I'd say it was a little bit neck heavy, but I mean that's something you really see on a lot of guitars anyway.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different shapes are that way. I will say, though, this, like the three different sections, you know, gluing this stuff is always a challenge, right? But on the three different sections, I was actually able to print this all in one piece, and I did put in all of the screws. And they are almost impossible.
Yeah,
to
they
put
are.
In.
I've added them in just like, if you want to, you can add them in. But of course, once you see the holes, you're like, yeah, but I want the screw in the hole.
There's one way down here I ended up using like a quarter inch wrench on a bit, like turn, like, eighth of a turn at a time to put it in, but I was determined to get it in there, so I did. So
sorry about that.
That's the Prussia Caster.
But then you didn't end there, right? That's the beginning of the rabbit hole.
Yeah, so I was trying, so, you know, Murph is coming up, and of course I procrastinate on building everything. So I think probably 40 days before it was time to travel, I started working on projects. And I wanted to do, when we did the Prussia Caster, I wanted to do an amp, right? So basically all I did was skin. I just bought a really inexpensive amplifier and used Prussia Mint, you know, just all the different colors that the caster was printed in, and just rebuilt the box. And at Murph, you know, everybody's like, well, that's really cool, but you should have 3D printed the speaker. And I'm like, oh, I should have. So So that's definitely the next project. I have to get one of the 3D printed speakers and put it in there.
Yeah, we have.
We know a guy.
Yeah, we know a guy. We had Paul on the stream. I guess Paul might have even been at MRF.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't catch up with him, but I knew that they were out there, and I knew the kits are actually getting pretty good. I heard like some of those speakers are really high quality now. So yeah. I definitely need one of those. But you know, and it was like the press board box, you know, like the traditional inexpensive amplifier. And I mean, it really doesn't sound, you think it would be kind of rattly with the plastic and everything, but it's really not all that bad. But again, the amplifier costs like less than $50. So okay. I wasn't really expecting a whole lot. So, but then, so I've been a musician for a long, long time. I've been playing guitar for forever, since I was a little kid. But always my preferred body of choice was the Explorer. And I have a couple of actual Explorers. In fact, I had one at MRF just to show how I made this. But basically, this is the printed Explorer. It's almost exactly like the Prusa Caster. I did alter the center section a little bit just to kind of make a little bit more like a Gibson.
Uh-huh.
But I used still the Telecaster bridge and both those pickups out of that same kit. But then I hand wired in potentiometers and stuff to make it match a little bit more like an actual Explorer.
I love that you can see on the back, still the original centerpiece.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned that, but trying to make the design somewhat modular, and I'd like to just continue with that. I've already got everyone at MRF was like, well, you should make one of these, and you should make one of these. So maybe we'll end up with like a flying V or, you know, some other weird shape. Yeah, Les Paul, or something arch top, you know, I mean, that would be really interesting to try to make. But this one turned out really well. But as far as neck heavy, so all the rest of this is like, most of this was done on the Mark III, and then this one was actually printed on, this big section was actually printed on the XL.
Ooh, nice.
But all of this was like two perimeters, 20%, and then I did four perimeters and 30% on the big tail fin, so it would have more weight on this side, so it would actually hang correctly, and it actually worked out pretty well. So, there's a few design things, because I glued this together with pins. You know, I just had printed pins and made holes and tried to 3D gloop it all together the best I could. There's a few things I would change, because I mean, there is
Prusa Slicer.
Yes, definitely Prusa Slicer. But there is a little bit of curling, because this thing has so much mass. You know, where on the corners, there was a little bit of curling. I think I have some ideas how to get around that. But all in all, for a first try, I finished this within 7 hours of time to travel to MRF. So with my own personal procrastination timeline, I think it really did come out well. And they play pretty well too. I mean, they turn out pretty nice all in all.
No, so. I think it's awesome. I love to see the remix. We love to hear you using Prusa Slicer and the pins. And I didn't even know that you printed the big part on the XL, so. It's like a nice showcase of everything we do, I guess.
In one. Yeah, absolutely. That's the XL was perfect, like perfect timing. You know, I needed the volume for that one fin, and that was really the only printer I had that could do it. So it did turn out pretty well. It all worked out.
You want to try to plug it in on the show, or will the noise canceling just remove all of the sounds?
Yeah, I actually tried it last night. It's kind of like almost, you know, it hurts your ego because Zoom doesn't want to hear you play. But Zoom is so good at noise cancellation, it just tunes, you can't even tell that it's going
really?
On. Or I would play for you, yeah.
Right. So we actually have a music festival.
Yes.
We didn't know about going just a couple hundred meters outside our window. And I don't know if you can hear anything, but we can.
Yeah, awesome.
I'm looking just quickly in the chat if I don't see any questions for you, Chris. But one comment says everybody loves Chris, so I guess that's not a question, but it's nice thing to see. What was something cool that you saw at MRF, Chris?
So we were right next to Jason at LDO Motors, our table. So I got to spend a lot of time at his booth. But he had the positron, the one that prints upside down on the glass. And I just so happened a couple of times got to catch the first layer. And you've never really experienced a first layer until you've seen it upside down, you know, from the print bed perspective. That is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It's a very ingenious design. Yeah, yeah, I'll let you play this. But
And you know, how is it possible? It heats up. And you can still see through it. And right. I guess on the first time that it is indium tin oxide layer there, and using the sheet as the resistance. And I know that because a long time ago we tried using carbon fiber sheets, and you just connect them on both sides, and they heat up all sort of evenly. And this is more genius way to do it, that you can see through it and the surface actually heats.
Yeah, it's actually really impressive, like how they've done the cables to drive it, but you know, when you see something like this, you start thinking about it gradually, and then all of the challenges that come with it to print upside down, like any priming that it does, it falls back on the nozzle because it's up, so you kind of have to fight that. And I could see how it would be really, you know, it would probably be a challenge to assemble, but I definitely want to try to put one of those together. Those are really cool.
Yeah, I would say it is one of the most innovative designs in quite some time. You know, if I remember the really like, I don't know, 10 years in the RepRap community, there was a lot of weird crazy things like SCADA printers, and this right. is this has the same crazy in a good way vibes.
I think it's nice, and it's open source too, right? The project.
Yeah, I believe it is. It's all available. I think LDO said that they were going to start selling kits maybe late this year. So, definitely looking forward to
another,
it. Yeah,
another thing, I mean, I guess the whole thing of this printer is that it fits inside a filament box.
Right. Yeah, it's... I don't know, the way it's compact and the way it's made, it is pretty ingenious. But again, I think that will add to the challenge of putting it together.
Yeah.
But all in all, just really well done. Again, I like it because it's so different. You know, there's really, I really hadn't seen anything much like it. And I'd seen it like once before, but never up close. And seeing it up close, it's pretty impressive.
I think it's what we all like to see. Something, someone trying something else, something new. And then because it's open source, people can kind of go wild on it, and it might end up right. being something actually, you know, major design, something really, really good, or not, or just something really fun. Doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah. And you know, how many times have you seen something like this project, and then somebody takes it and runs with it, and it turns into a completely different thing, but it might be huge, right? We don't know, but that's the kind of stuff I love going to MRF and the RepRap Fest to see. Very cool.
So
you must bring another box the battery pack for it.
So yeah.
So it's Parker.
Yeah, fully.
Like we have on a mini on a spot.
Yeah, we have the Boston Dynamics spot, and we have the mini on its back, and it's battery powered, so it's like fully mobile.
Yeah,
it's pretty fun.
We never brought him to the States, right?
No. I think next year.
You can try. It's a kind of heavy box to ship. But...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to go with the spot through customs.
Yeah. Especially with our modded one, it kind of looks like some sci-fi evil robot.
Yeah, usually I put something like, if I'm traveling with some printers or something, I put a friendly robot inside, but I don't know.
That would be really cool to bring to one of the festivals, though. I've always wanted to see one of those in person, so definitely, you know, consider that next time you come. That'd be awesome.
I'm thinking we for sure will have it on farm next.
Yeah.
But I think at some shows they already told us not to bring it anymore.
But I think, David, on Formex they told you specifically to bring it again.
Yes. They, at the start of the show, they said, no, we don't want it. And at the end of the day, they bring it.
Chris, are you working on anything new, anything you want to tease to the viewers?
Well, so... I mean, most of it's going to be like, I've got tons of different main boards and things like that that I need to get through, just, you know, to try to different configurations. Of course, you know, input shaper and all this testing and all that kind of good stuff that I usually do on my channel. But honestly, we don't have that far to go till Earth. I mean, we've just got a couple of months. So I should probably start working on something, you know, for that sooner than I did for Murph. But I really would, I would like to do at least one more guitar. And we'll see. And I've been kicking around, like, maybe some different types of filament. Like, I don't know. I would like to, like, conductive filament. I would like to integrate, like, maybe some lights and use the actual filament path to support some of the electronics. Something crazy. Something kind of weird. So we'll see what it can come up with. But I've got a lot of projects and not a whole lot of time. So we'll see what we can complete.
We know something about that. That's how it is.
So absolutely. You said that you are 3D printer enthusiasts. So how many printers have gone through your hands?
Well over 100. I would say, because I've been doing it since probably like 2016. So it definitely well over 100 printers. And honestly, Joe, I know you don't remember this, but the first time I met you, what, like probably 17 or 18, somewhere in there, we talked about how many printers, and at that time I only had 34. And you told me, it's like, my name is Chris Riley, and I have a 3D printer problem. And I tell everybody that story, like the first time I met Joe. But I thought, I had a problem at that time, and I still do. So, yeah, I think I currently have 43 in-house, but I try to give away as many as I possibly can. So
that's pretty wild. That's more than maybe some of our departments here, 43. Okay, well, Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I hope I will get to see, I mean, your current designs, but maybe some future guitar designs in person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, really, just thanks for joining us. This was fun.
Thanks for having me. Next time I see you, you have to sign my Prusa caster. So
that will be my honor.
Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Bye. Yeah,
bye.
Okay. That was Chris. I really hope I get to play the guitars, but I guess that's my kind of jam. Not something you guys are crazy about.
And you are going to play?
I mean, I did tune it before the stream at least. I don't know if our Zoom also cancels it out, but I guess now we're actually not going through Zoom. We're going directly out, so maybe this was at least partly a possibility we heard. Okay, and then we have a bunch of things happening on various fronts. One of them is tied to printables. So big thing coming, and it's now currently in closed beta. So the designer clubs, we released an article about it some time ago, like 1 or 2 weeks ago, and we are now in closed beta. So if you are a designer, or if you know a designer who is either already releasing models on printables or using something like Patreon to release models for their supporters, they can send an email to info@prusafree.com, and we would be happy to let them in early so we can get feedback. We are changing how things work based on the designer's feedback, so by the time it's out, it's already like all the main feedback tasks are tackled. Yeah. We have Fotis, I think, in chat could say a few things about that. The first wave of designers has been testing it already for some time, and of course every designer has different needs, and we try to make it the best for everyone. So that's that. And then we had a bunch of firmwares releasing. So we have two for the Mark IV, right? Like two different ones.
That's you know, it must sound confusing, but we have the 4.7.4 Mark IV and XL. They are both stable firmwares with a lot of things, adding a lot of features for the dual head XL. And at the same time, on the Mark IV, we have the alpha firmware, which features the input shaper. And I will already tackle one question I saw in the chat.
Yeah.
Earlier, about when you will be able to print other things than the demo models, but you can do that since the day one we released it. Just in the in the new slicers. Click on the configuration wizard and add Mark IV Alpha.
That's right. It's a for now. It's like a separate printer, just so that's easy to differentiate between them, because we don't want people with non-input shaper firmware to be using input shaper profiles. They could end up kind of wonky. So yeah, I have the Mark IV, and then I have the Mark IV input shaper, and depending on which one I use, it will load different print profiles. So yeah, the second alpha of the input shaper for the Mark IV is out, but if you want to stay on the stable and wait a bit for the final release of the input shaper firmware, you can use the newly released 4.7.0, which has a ton of improvements. A lot of them you said were for the tool changer, because we are now shipping some of the yes. dual head XLs.
Yes.
So they left the factory, and I imagine we'll be seeing some pictures of people with already set up dual tool XLs very soon.
Well, I'm pretty sure some are delivered already.
Yeah. Okay. Since we renamed this to the Prusa podcast, which is how it was called in the podcast apps for some time anyway, let's like do a quick refresh of the contest that we do on the stream. We always pick some nice prints on our printers. So before we did the hashtag Prusa Life, but we thought it's kind of complicated to have different thing from our main Twitter. So just tag us on Twitter, do @Prusa3D, and post nice pictures of prints. Ideally include at least one picture of the model still on the build plate, and yes. then maybe the finished thing. The winner will get 700 Prusa meters, which is enough for 2 spools. And the runner-ups will get 350, which is enough for 1 spool. Typically we do top 3, but sometimes when there are just too many cool prints and we can't decide, we do maybe 4 or 5 or something. So those are the rules for the next show. So we will be looking out for your cool prints with a mention of @Prusa3D on Twitter. So that is kind of going through the news. We also have the updates of all the shipping information, which you can find in our knowledge base, as always. And yeah, we can tackle now some questions from chat, but we can also get back to David, because I'm sure you're working on like a million other things which you could talk about. So let's see if there's some questions in the chat.
Maybe the Fusion 360 Academy. It is.
Yeah.
The course is out, and you can even buy it for some Prusa meters.
That's right. I think it's pretty nice. The feedback was so far pretty good.
Yes.
And I expect maybe schools will be picking it up, so they might find it useful for some of their classes. What is that background? Thank you. Excellent question. So this is a wall full of heatbed tiles. So these are the PCBs that we make in-house to do the heatbeds on the XL. We didn't waste so many of them just to make a nice backdrop. This is from the initial prototyping stage when we had some that were not to the final spec. So the developer guys, the manufacturing, were like, we have a lot of them that are not usable in production printers. And we were like, we are happy to take them.
Yeah.
all of them.
Yeah. Well, if we call them tiles, maybe, you know, we should tile a bathroom with them.
Oh, yeah.
I think you could seal it.
Yeah. And,
you know? I bet it would last a lifetime.
Maybe it will be possible to see it a bit better on the second cam if we get a bit closer. But yeah, they are still in the, what would you call it, the frame before they are cut out. And
Panel,
yeah. And yeah, you just cut them out. That's how you get the individual tiles. Thank you for the question, Extra Jim.
The MMU3, both for Mark IV and Mark III, there are some different parts, not on the MMU itself, but on the extruder. So yeah, that is why they are separate.
Someone asked about square connector pins. I think they are already there.
Yeah,
they are, right?
Yeah.
So let's see if I go actually just undo. I remember when we didn't have undo. It's such a nice thing to have, that everything that happens in Prusa Slicer is undoable now. So I still have the connectors. I can select it and I can go into square. And it still has this this nice shape, but I think if you change it from frustum to prism, it's actual square. But in this case, you have to get the tolerance right. Yeah.
You must calculate the tolerance with those square ones.
I guess, David, you have some like you tried all of them before you ended up using the frustum one, right?
Yeah, and the circle one is the best.
You think so? Yeah. I guess maybe if you doesn't it make like harder to align the rotation?
It's not that hard because you have it always in the center of the
yeah.
Plane, so it's not that hard to line it. And you also have a space for move it with the glue.
Yeah.
So just wiggle it a little bit.
Yeah.
That makes sense that it's easier to squeeze out all the excess glue and you can just wipe it after.
Yeah. Huh. And spread it out evenly everywhere. That's nice. Yeah.
What firmware is the one you have to use on Mark 3.5, 3.9? It will be pretty much same firmware as on the Mark 4.
Because it will be the same board, maybe different connectors or something.
Same.
Maybe the same actually. Yeah.
Black Friday. I think we have some time for that.
Yeah. It's, wow.
So I also see. A question about print recycling, right, in Prague. If you are interested in such sustainable topics, we released our sustainability report. And I think we are mentioning that we want to do something like that, but it is always difficult to do these things because, you know, I don't think you can ever do it into, for example, filament in a quality such as Prusamen, because, you know, if you are collecting it from the people on the outside, you know, just a couple of bits of different polymers, and it is completely unpredictable what it will do. But there are other ways. I think we sponsored one contest for recycling, and I think we will be posting that quite soon.
Yes. And I know Vladia, who managed and did the sustainability report. I know he's tackling the issue of recycling from every direction he can. So,
and he was actually a guest on podcast on 3D
Musketeer.
Three Musketeer
with Grant. Yeah.
So you can check that out. It was quite nice discussion.
Yeah. I actually was surprised that, I know, sustainability, I was like, ugh. But it's an hour long and I actually watched all of it. So that surprised me because the topic can sound boring, but it was actually full of really cool stuff. Yeah, so some more questions are popping up. David, are you working on something cool right now?
Now we're working on Triceratops for Prague Zoo.
Oh yeah, you're printing one-to-one scale the skull, right?
Yeah, the skull you scan.
That's crazy.
It's a life-size scan of Triceratops called Trix, which is on Prague Museum of Dinosaurs.
He was bitten by a T-Rex, right?
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's like the coolest dinosaur skull I've ever seen.
So we printed from the PTG, and Now we're working on some some stand for it for Praxu.
I actually
outside.
I can't believe that you are printing it at like 1-to-1 scale. Like I'm worried that even the polymer will not like not support itself with how huge and heavy it will be.
It's pretty thin, so it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to see that when it will be assembled assembling it together.
I think tomorrow we'll put it together.
Ping me on Slack.
Yeah.
It's actually the scan is on printables. I'm sure. Yeah. I cannot find it right now, but
I think you have it. It's the silver one.
Which one? Oh, this one?
Yeah. I think this is
No, because it's very distinct because of the hole after the bite from T-Rex, which makes it really kind of cool thing that they are printing it and
it looks almost like this, but
yeah, they can't see it, but we were just looking at a generic Triceratops skull, but
there's a lot of battle damage on it.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I saw a question about getting more manufacturing space. We right now we are in a new space where we moved content and some other parts, so we can have more space for manufacturing.
Yeah, and we are hiring like 100 people into manufacturing.
Yes.
So we can make more printers, more faster. What's the coolest functional part you guys ever made?
Well, the printer parts.
Yeah, I guess you made the printer. That's a pretty good point. I'll take that. I think one of the cool things that caught my eye early on when I joined was the polycarbonate part for the polymer compounder line, which the Prusa Polymer guys used to replace like a solid like steel connector. And it's broke and they were waiting for the new part. So they just printed it from Prusa and polycarbonate. And it like transferred all the rotational force, which was like really substantial to cut all the polymers. So it was really incredible to see that you can do that.
Yeah, when you're extruding the polymers, you're not extruding them at the temperatures we normally do at printers. So they are quite stiff.
Yeah.
I print the body kit for my car, like the master mold.
Oh yeah.
The whole body, like the front bumper, rear bumper, the side skirts, everything.
And didn't we post some things you printed for
you? I think not much, no. Oh. I think just imagine me with guitars, but basically that's David with his car. Yeah.
it doesn't look stock.
Yeah, no, not at all. So, yeah. People sharing what they're printing in the chat. That's nice. Any plans for fairs in UK or Ireland in the future? I think we'll be coming to Smurf, the first year of Sanjay Montimer RepRap Festival.
Yes.
And
there was just TCT.
TCT was just in the UK, Birmingham. So that's where we go in the UK. I guess we can kind of close it there.
Yeah, there are some other questions, but I really don't know answer
Do you know the timeline on hardened nozzles or something for the next?
I do not.
Not
I do
from
not,
the top of your head.
Yes, but some of the replacements, you know, it's a thing for our support.
Yeah, so timelines, we're updating the shipping date, shipping table, you know, page on help. As much as possible, for questions about your orders, you can always reach to support. But yeah, the hardened nozzles, for example, I saw some testing pieces here. So they're being worked on, but we don't know the timeline just now. Vexter just joined, so I guess that's the perfect time to say goodbye and close the stream. So thanks everyone, thanks for watching. I'm sure we will have David on again sometime in the future, because you always have some cool stuff to show.
I bring something new. Something big.
Something big. And see you in the next one.
Take care.
Bye.